to participate and be able to connect to that vaccine. And even the vertical of that is the very. Speculative. I will speak now, I think, show the only stuff in the United States, I knew are.
Again, as you said, Taylor Hernval, Senior Planner. This presentation is for Project 23-0466, the Santa Clara Apartments Amendment at 102 South Garden Street. Next slide, please. The project site's located on the southeast corner of West Santa Clara Street and South Garden Street within the downtown specific plan area. The site currently hosts a car wash building with some surface parking spaces, and the site's surrounded by residential uses to the north, east, and west, and commercial development to the south. So here we have some contextual photos around the site. You can see the top two photos, looking north from the alley and south from Santa Clara. You can see kind of on the side, off to the side there, the surrounding residential development. The southeast Garden Street view shows you sort of the Garden Street facade of the existing building, and then looking northeast from Garden Street, again, you can see that residential development. So here we have the existing site plan showing that existing car wash building and diagonal parking spaces on the street. That application, or pardon me, the applicant proposes to demolish the existing car wash building and replace it with a 29-unit apartment building with podium parking. That would be an increase of 10 units from the previously approved project. And so as part of the project, that applicant also proposes to remove the 16 existing diagonal street spaces that you can see towards the middle of that sheet here and replace them with 10 parallel spaces. The existing angled parking and sidewalk currently encroach onto the private property, so onto the subject property, but the project and associated right-of-way abandonment, as approved for the previous project and is unchanged for this one, will correct this situation and will not result in any reduction in width of any existing travel or bike lanes on Santa Clara or Garden Street. So the project consists of a three- to four-story, approximately 40,203 sq ft mixed-use building. The ground floor would have seven live-work units with direct access off Santa Clara and Garden Streets. One of those ground floor units, live-work units, would be affordable. 22 multifamily residential units are proposed on the second, third, and fourth floors for a total of 29 residential units, five total affordable units, four more in the upper levels. Parking garage with 16 spaces, utilizing a stacking system, will be located behind the live-work units on the bottom floor. Vehicles can access the garage from a 20-foot alley along the southern boundary of the site, and access to the upper floors is provided from Santa Clara Street through a lobby with a mail center and from Garden Street through a vestibule in addition to access from the parking garage, that interior access. There's common open space area provided as well on the second floor and rooftop of the building. So the increase in unit count is achieved primarily via redistribution of unit sizes. So unit type and count are in the table you can see here. Number of two-bedroom units will be reduced, but the distribution in unit sizes and types would be more broad and will increase the number of units available at that lower rent. The overall building massing, design, and landscaping will be generally consistent with the originally approved project, and so therefore this did not go back to the design review committee. But there are a few minor changes, which I'll discuss briefly later on in the presentation, of course. For now, we can address the parking. So in addition to the change in unit count, the applicant selected to apply the provisions of AB 2097, which prohibits a public agency from imposing or enforcing minimum parking requirements on development projects located within a half mile of a major transit stop. And for background, AB 2097 defines major transit stops as existing rapid transit stations, ferry terminals served by bus or rail, the intersection of two or more major bus routes with a frequency of service of 15 minutes or less during peak commute periods, and transit stops that are included in any applicable regional transportation plan. Such, the total number of parking spaces provided was reduced from 21 for the previously approved project to the 16 spaces indicated. These 16 spaces comprise the required accessible and electric vehicle charging spaces, still required by law, and the AB 2097 does not remove these requirements. And as mentioned previously, they would be provided via automated stacking system. Those 16 spaces are in addition to the 10 street spaces, which are conditioned to be maintained for public use and not as designated guest or resident spaces. And in order to address any issue with parking availability due to maintenance or failure of the lift system, the project is conditioned, just like the original project, to arrange for alternative off-site parking in the event that the lift is inoperable for a period of longer than 24 hours. And that agreement must be executed prior to granting of a certificate of occupancy. Let's see, so the city's inclusionary housing ordinance requires that new residential developments of over 7 units provide affordable units equal to 15% of the total number of units, two-thirds of those being affordable or low-income affordable, and the other third available to very low-income residents. The proposed project does meet this. They're providing 3 low-income and 2 very low-income. Let's see. So California State Density Bonus Law would also apply to this project. While they have not requested an actual increase in density over what would generally be allowed, they are asking for concessions and waivers, or as part of the project, concessions and waivers would be needed. And upon a developer's request, of course, the city must utilize that state-mandated density, parking ratio, and concessions for the qualifying projects. This project's eligible for 1 concession and an unlimited number of waivers based on the number of affordable units provided. So we'd be applying the 1 concession to the footprint requirement, requiring that the fourth story be limited to only 15% of the overall building footprint. They are proposing 29%. And 1 waiver would be applied to the parking placement standard to allow for parking beyond the rear 50% of the site. So here we have the previously approved elevations on the left and proposed on the right. The proposed design and landscape are generally consistent, as I mentioned, with the previous approval, but there are some modifications, specifically that roof level patio area, walkways on the alley side elevation, and the ventilated wall panels on the east side of the building you can see are removed in the proposed design. I would have the applicant potentially further explain the reasoning behind some of these changes. I'm available for questions on that as well. But moving on to our recommendation. Thank you. Staff's recommendation is that the community development director approve the amended coastal development permit and major design review as condition. And that concludes my presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Taylor. I'll hold questions until after the applicant's presentation. Do we have an applicant present?
No, we actually need to
Otherwise, you're not on camera, really. No?
Did you just breathe into it?
No, I did. You want to try again?
Check, check, check.
Nothing.
Check, check. Oh, there we go.
There you are. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Good evening. My name is Matt Mancy. I'm part of the development and applicant. And we don't have a presentation, but our team's here to answer any questions. We're excited to get this project online, assuming a favorable decision.
Thank you. So I do have some questions. And actually, I'm going to hold on questions as well. I'd like to open this up to public comment. And I do want to note for the public, we did receive quite a few letters, and I did read every single one of them multiple times. And we even received some this afternoon that I received as well. When this happens, typically we ask that you submit your comments by 4 p.m. to get them onto our online public comments. So just for you at home, you can submit those online. And they do get updated regularly. So I did receive all the comments as of 5 p.m. today. Madam Clerk, do we have any speakers for this item?
We do. We have two speakers. It's going to be Carol Spector followed by Christy Weir.
Thank you, Carol. You have 3 minutes.
And I'm sorry, I'm dressed this way. I was watching the skateboarding kids. They're so cute. And I knew you were going to read the comments, so I'm just sort of going to reiterate them so I can say them in person. It's interesting. It's labeled as a high-quality transit stop, but in talking to SCAG representatives about another project, they admitted that currently we're not considered a high-quality transit stop, even though it's listed that way, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. When this building first came out, we honestly, I and my group, had really no issues, but the increased units will increase traffic, parking, and the need for infrastructure, and honestly, that area is kind of, Thompson is prone to flooding and other things, so it's a little scary to have more people and more sewers and things like that. The units are all getting smaller, which, based on the prices of things these days, I'm concerned that people won't be able to afford to. If there were a bigger unit, you could have roommates and maybe spread the wealth a little bit. So not very family friendly, but also, I think, a problem. I'm sorry to see the less parking. It's only a few spaces, but that's such a congested area. The people from the Wave are constantly complaining and parking in scary places. And because they're increasing the housing, the units by 50%, I'm hoping that to look at the design again to make sure the corridors have room, the common areas have room, and things like that. You know, it is a pretty drastic change, so it feels like it needs some tweaking before it's approved. So can definitely approve it, but some concerns about the increase in units. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Weir?
Thank you. The change requests before you tonight are not in the best interests of our downtown. Two-bedroom units are what we need for families, which is what it was previously. We need them for singles or couples who need a home office. We need them for roommates trying to save money. Sharing a $3,500 two-bedroom unit costs about $1,700 per person, which is more affordable than one person trying to pay $2,800 for a studio. More small units are profitable for the applicant, but not what our community needs. The new core apartments a block away are very small. They're mostly renting as second homes to people from hot areas like San Fernando Valley and to UCSB students and employees. Very few Ventura workers are living there. The city was told many times by developers there's a huge demand for small apartments from people who work for Trade Desk, Patagonia, other local employers, but that's not who is renting all these new apartments. The change from two bedrooms to one bedrooms and studios will be catering to weekend renters, not to Ventura families, contributing to downtown becoming more and more of a vacation rental zone. The parking lifts have been approved and are allowed in the DTSB, but that was a dangerous decision. When we wrote the DTSB, we were not focused on emergency evacuation to the extent we are after the Thomas Fire and recent winter flooding. This parcel is in a high hazard zone. It is on tsunami and fire and flood evacuation routes. It will be very risky getting everybody's car out quickly during an emergency, especially with no electricity. This happened during the Thomas Fire, many cars unable to escape out of their garages because the entire town had no electricity. Allowing decreased parking spots because of nearby high quality transit is a little questionable. The Amtrak station somehow qualifies, but the actual train schedule does not equal quality transit. Currently, the parking spaces on Garden are marked reserved for WAVE residents because their parking is insufficient. Providing less parking than needed for these new apartments will amplify the deficit. Please take a look also at the street tree plan. There are none shown on Santa Clara Street, no street trees. And on Garden, they should be Mexican sycamores to match the adjacent areas. The Arbuta Marina trees are beautiful, but they are not large canopy trees like the sycamores, which have been successful nearby. Also, your staff report says there are little or minimum landscaping along nearby building frontages, where actually there is 10 to 15 feet of attractive landscaping between sidewalks and buildings on all adjacent properties. So please ensure that this project follows that pattern that's all around the other block faces. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a question of staff and a few questions for the applicants as well. For staff, did we consider alternative street trees, or were there any recommendations from the urban forester related to the types of trees?
There were with the originally approved project and the currently proposed project. It's required to maintain landscaping treatments substantially similar to what was previously approved. It's conditioned and required.
Was there any conversation about continuing the Mexican sycamores that are patterned before that, or was there a purposeful shift to another species of tree?
I am not sure what the intention was on the applicant's part behind that switch, but no, I don't believe there was any specific conversation.
Another question. I know we had a condition of approval regarding the mechanical lifts in the original approval. Does that condition carry over into this approval?
Yes, all existing conditions for that previously approved project were carried over to this one, with the exception of a couple that are not relevant or were modified by land development staff slightly, but otherwise all the same conditions do still apply, and there are a couple added conditions.
Thank you. Do we have other mechanical lift projects in close proximity to this location?
We do have, I believe, at least one other that was approved but has not been constructed yet.
Okay, I believe I know which one you're talking about. Thank you. Give me just a moment. I have many notes on here, so I just want to make sure I'm capturing everything. And then this is a density bonus project, is that correct?
They're technically not requesting a density bonus. They have not made a formal request for a density bonus, but they do require and request the associated concession and waivers that would be applicable here.
So they're not taking the bonus units, but they're requesting waivers and concessions as part of this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. I may come back to you with more questions. Thank you so much, though. This is a question for the applicant. Can you walk me through a little bit of the changes and why you're going to smaller units? Sorry, I clearly threw a little curveball on that one, so thank you.
We've just, to answer your question, we've seen building in this area a bigger demand for smaller units. And so we're just strictly just looking at demand, what will be most rentable.
Thank you. And back to staff, as far as the parking requirement goes, and I know this is very frustrating, and it has frustrated staff, the community as well. This is a high-quality transit area, not because of today's bus service and train service because of today's and the future and planned service. And that's kind of an interesting concept to think about the future of transit in the community and how that works. And so as a result, they are allowed for reduced parking, and frankly, even outside of that, could potentially utilize the density bonus parking requirements and reduce parking as well. And I definitely understand the concern about parking. I mean, I think that's the number one thing you hear with all of these projects. But I think, as many of you know, my hands are tied as far as requiring additional parking. We certainly can suggest more. And obviously, the more that the developer is able to put in the site when there's a little remnant or extra space to tuck in a spot, we'd highly recommend that, to be able to put as much parking in as possible. I'm sure you're thinking the same thing as well. Just looking at the project itself, aesthetically, one of my concerns is that east interior site wall that has limited architectural features. Taylor, that's adjacent to an existing parking lot, is that correct? Or is there a building next door? Can you remind me?
There is a building next door.
This is, so they're just showing kind of the space in between the two buildings, and that's next to that blank wall is next to Santa Clara Courts, is that correct?
Yes.
Or more blank wall, I should say.
Yeah.
I think the reality is that generally this is a very handsome building. I think it still maintains the general design integrity of the previous design. But I am a little concerned about that elevation that faces the Santa Clara Courts. My question to the architect or architect's team is there something that you can do to improve visual interest there so that the neighbors aren't looking at a simpler design?
Hi, my name is Lauren Evans. I'm the architect on the job, so I can definitely answer that question. The first floor of that courtyard, it faces the neighbor's site wall, which is a 6-foot high site wall. And so the project wall is about 5 to 6 feet away from that wall. So the only space there is used for just circulation for the fire department to get around. That wall is 12 feet high at the plate, so you will see that from the neighbor's side. There are a few things we could do. We could provide architectural detail, coping, any kind of venting, maybe for the garage to help screen, we could provide openings to the garage that are screened with maybe some architectural metal that could be handsome. So yes, we could certainly review that and add architectural motifs or details to that elevation if that's recommended by the council.
If you went with more openings with vents along that wall, would it reduce the need for mechanical ventilation at all?
Mm, good question. We
and the noise
weren't
of mechanical
able to
ventilation.
Get natural ventilation to work because the garage doesn't have opposing sides. So ventilation to meet the code requirement for natural ventilation, you'd need it through ventilation. And since we only have opening on one side, it's kind of stale and stagnant in there. So we are providing mechanical vent that goes all the way up to the roof and vents 5 feet or 10 feet above the roof, so it's not going to bother any neighbors. So we took the openings off because they weren't needed. But there's nothing to say we can't put the openings back to help ventilate the space.
If you don't need them, to be totally honest, and this is more of a comment than the question, I'd rather not there be openings towards a neighboring
building.
That's
how I felt about it, too. I didn't want any exhaust fumes to go across the site.
If that was the full ventilation and you could make it work and eliminate the mechanical, I could see wanting that as an alternative to, and then you don't have the noise. But it's just going to create, I think, a negative impact to the neighbors if you opened that up.
Mm-hmm.
But I still remain concerned about that elevation facing the neighbors and the ability to the ability to see kind of that blank wall and creating some visual interest.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to think about the best ways to consider that. As far as the street trees, do you have any issues with doing Mexican sycamore to match the neighboring properties?
Absolutely not. We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be able to increase the landscaping on site overall by, say, 10% more
We actually are required to provide infiltration through the landscaping planters on the ground floor, and there is a plan to increase the landscaping in order to get that infiltration to work. So
as part
in
of
the
your
front,
plan, your yeah, low in the, impact in the, development. Okay.
Yes, we've been working with a civil engineer who's asked us to actually add more planters on the Santa Clara side. And
fantastic.
That way our roof drains will drain through the planters and infiltrate and won't go into the street, our roof drainage. We are heavily planting the deck level, which is providing nice planting for the residents. Obviously, the community wouldn't be able to enjoy that as much. They could probably see it from afar, but we'll definitely work to enhance the front planting areas.
What plants do you have in the Santa Clara side planters? And I know I can look that up myself.
I can't tell you exactly. I'm sorry.
You give me a moment. I'll take a look.
I can't. I don't speak Greek.
What? How big those get is my question. Let's see here. Give me just a moment while I look. It's interesting because in the elevation, it's showing fairly significant
do you have a problem with
trees, and then they're not exactly on the landscape plan. Is there the ability to put any street trees on Santa Clara, or was that something that was commented on by Urban Forester? Could you answer that, Taylor? And did the Urban Forester have any thoughts on Santa Clara street trees, or is that not part of the development pattern?
So it generally should be on the landscape plan, and it would be required to be on the landscape plans that are submitted for plan check before they can be approved. But in the conditions, it does specify that all there are specified improvements along Santa Clara Street, including street trees.
Just as a side note, I think we also should pay attention to the environment and how much trees need to be watered, and we'd like to pick a more drought-resistant tree if possible, if that could also be considered and could integrate into the network of the trees that are already there.
It looks like you have some jacarandas and a Marina strawberry tree on Garden Street. And then a TBD deciduous flowering tree in the back. Did you have any thoughts on the type of flowering tree you might install in the alley?
Strawberry trees are nice because they don't grow too big, and they're beautiful, and they have nice red bark. So if I would have my say, I'd like to put a strawberry tree in there.
Great, thank you so much. That
sure.
was very helpful, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, Madam Clerk.
We do have an additional comment if you'll allow it.
Absolutely, I will allow it. It's never too late, no decisions have been made. Go ahead,
Riley?
If we have a speaker.
Hi, I'm, very loud. Sorry I'm late. I actually live in Santa Clara Courts, and I have for 6.5 years. So obviously this whole development is like very interesting to me. And I've never spoken at one of these before, but I was curious, obviously, if there's an increase in units, that's gonna be an increase in people, increase in parking, and I know that you had said that there's not a lot of you can do about that. I guess I was wondering if that whole row of front entrance parking was going to be taken out, or what the number of parking spots that were going to be available to in the new building for the existing units. I mean, going from 19 to 29 is a pretty big difference. And then especially if there's going to be commercial spaces, obviously that's going to increase even more with guests and everything like that. So I know I can't directly ask them, so I guess I'm asking you.
So you're technically not supposed to ask me questions either. You're just making comment, but I'm more than happy to answer the question and also pose it over to staff. Can you just review original number of units, proposed number of units, original parking spaces, proposed parking spaces?
Yes. Actually, if you can go back a couple more slides. There. I believe this one shows, this shows the parallel spaces. So there were 16 diagonal spaces along Garden Street. Those spaces did encroach partially, or do encroach partially, into the subject properties area. For the new parking plan that you can see here, sorry, I should have probably put up the existing. Actually, can you go back one? There, so to show you the existing, there are 16 existing diagonal spaces. Like I said, they do encroach currently onto that property. So they'll be changing them to reconfiguring them and thus also reducing the number of spaces to 10. So 16 on-street spaces being reduced to 10, and they will be parallel rather than that diagonal. Unit count, it was 19 approved. Prior, it was 15 two-bedroom units, I think. I don't think there were any. Actually, I can go back. I can verify. 15 two-bedroom units, one bedroom live work and one studio live work. The distribution overall is changing and tending toward one-bedroom units and studio units. Slight, but about a half, 50% reduction of regular two-bedroom units, and again, 50% reduction of the two-bedroom live work units, and instead. A kind of wider distribution over the other unit types and sizes. Street parking was 16 street spaces, changing to 10. On-site was, I believe it was, 21 spaces on-site approved for the original project. That's being reduced to 16 spaces, and those 16 are just the electric vehicle charging and ADA compliant spaces that are still required by law.
Thank you for that. Are the current street parking spaces available to the public, the diagonal parking spaces?
Yes, so those 16 spaces are available for the public, and the spaces that will, it'll be a reduction in spaces, but those spaces are still conditioned to remain available for the public and not be designated as guest or resident parking. So they have to remain available to the public.
Perfect. Thank you. And I don't typically do this, but do you have any other questions that you want to answer? Because we're here. It's a little less informal today. We have a DJ outside, so we're going to make some special exceptions today.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Thank
I know.
You so
I had
much
no
coming.
Idea that was going on, and I was like,
Shout out to the X Games happening right outside. I hope you can hear this on the video because it's deeply entertaining and it's, keeping it DJ Cascade tonight. So thank you for the bass as part of this public hearing, DJ Cascade and the X Games. I hope everyone goes and enjoys themselves this weekend. So back to the regularly scheduled item. Back to the applicant, and thanks everyone for jumping around. This is a big project and there's a lot of questions and there's a lot to kind of go through. I just want to talk a little bit more about landscaping as well as the mechanical parking. Just going back to the Santa Clara side, this is more a question for staff. Do we anticipate there being a parkway strip on Santa Clara or just on Garden? And did I say that wrong? Sorry. We have a parkway strip on Garden, but not on Santa Clara right now. Do we anticipate one being added, or is that the development pattern?
To be perfectly honest, I would have to double check the conditions around street improvements. I believe that they are required to add one. I can verify that, of course, but I believe they are required to add one on Santa Clara as well.
Okay, so even if that's in there, I'm going to make a note of that. And then this is for the applicant. Do you have a plan of what happens if the mechanical parking lifts fail, are temporarily out of order, et cetera? What happens to a tenant who's parked on top?
Yes. We looked into that ourselves. We had the same concern. And there's three manufacturers that we're talking with, not just one. and they all pretty much work the same, though. They have online access to the system via, they have a portal. They can actually assess if there's a fault or an error in the system. Their alarm goes off. They can assess it from their home manufacturer's office, wherever they are, and correct it right there if it's a software error or if it's just a reset that they need to do. If there's a power outage, there's also backup power for that system that would help get the system up and running if they needed it in a outage.
Okay, and then is there in an outage?
There's other. They have the applicant also has other information on that.
Oh, I think maybe you were referring to how are we going to relocate the cars.
A little bit of both. If there's no power and my car is on the top of the mechanical lift, first the person on the bottom is going to easily drive out because they're easy in and out. But then what do we do with my car on top? Is there a non-electrical override to lower the car?
Well, no, there's a battery backup.
And, oh,
you know, you could be right about the also the manual override.
Usually there is, but yeah. It's not pleasant, and it's probably not good for the car.
Well, we asked the question in an outage, can you get your car out? And they said, it's about a 10-minute wait. That's what they told us, because there is a battery backup and there's an override that if and when that is that fault occurs on their end, they'll see it, they'll assess it, and correct it offline or online. And they do have battery backup and cell connection.
And so now kind of the other piece of it, now they're just not working on a regular time and are out of order. So what do I do as a tenant if my parking space is out of order? What do you plan to do as the property manager, or they will?
Well, I did ask that question about maintenance, and they said in the system, they rarely, hardly anything ever goes wrong. That's what they tell us. And
good salesperson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
but I will add that is my understanding of the systems as well, and looking at other cities that have done this. But obviously, there are cases where they do fail.
In talking with the manufacturers, what they found is that there's electronic boards that tend to be the vast majority of where their mechanical breakdowns take place. So it's our intention to always have one or two of those boards on site, because usually it's a matter of just hours to be able to get the system up and running if it actually crashes not mechanically, but electronically. So that's kind of our main strategy is going to be always to make sure we have the main equipment on site in the event that there ever is an inconvenience where the system is down.
Thank you. That was really helpful. Are there any conditions of approval you're concerned about being able to comply with?
They're existing conditions of
approval. No, not at this time, no.
Thank you. That's the end of my questions. I appreciate everyone's thoughtful answers, and especially the public comment. Obviously, a lot of my questions are coming from the public comment, so I appreciate people who take the time to really dive into this and analyze from a public perspective, because I think it gives a perspective of people who walk by every single day and who are in the neighborhood, understand the character of the neighborhood and want to provide comment, and just know that I definitely look at those and care about those comments and take them deeply into consideration. And you'll see that in a minute in my conditions. I am going to approve this application both with the conditions that staff included in the resolution. And just to walk through, the findings a little bit, there are a number of findings that need to be made for this project. And as we stated earlier, there's two different applications before us this evening. One is a coastal development permit and the other is a design review permit. And there are a number of required findings that need to occur, specifically for the coastal development permit. That there's no obstruction of the coastline, that the development is compatible with the existing physical scale and character of the area, that it's in conformance with all provisions of zoning in the comp plan, that the proposed development is permitted in the location where it is, which it is, This is not in a coastal bluff area, thankfully, and so that skips a whole lot of additional findings, and that's really important to note as well. When you're in a coastal bluff area, there is an extensive layer of additional review that occurs, and thankfully we're not dealing with a project that's in that area where we are very concerned about that sensitive riparian area or other coastal bluff issues. Additionally, there's the design review findings, and those are listed in the resolution that's attached, including that the design and layout of the proposed development is consistent with the applicable elements of the general plan and any adopted architectural criteria, particularly in this case in the downtown specific plan. Additionally, the design and layout of the proposed development will accommodate the functions and activities of the property and won't limit the enjoyment of the area by neighbors. Additionally, the architectural design of the development is compatible with the character of the surrounding neighborhood, and all reasonable design efforts have been made to maintain the harmonious, orderly, and attractive development contemplated by the zoning ordinance and the general plan. You'll see in some of my conditions that I allude to this as well and want to include these conditions to further meet this finding, and those are the aesthetic conditions related to the building's architectural design as well as landscaping. And then the last finding is about providing a desirable environment for the occupants and visiting public. And I would say that that's actually something that I think is really well done on this project, is providing visual interest as well as private amenities for people visiting the site. I think that they did a great job landscaping the private patio, and it's really the public forward-facing landscaped areas that I'm concerned about and want to add some conditions to. Specifically, and I think some of these may overlap, so whichever is more restrictive will apply in case there's any confusion on conditions. I am concerned about the mechanical lifts. I think this is the harsh reality of using technology that we aren't commonly seeing still in Southern California. They exist. I'm used to seeing them in New York City parking lots. And I'm just being honest, that's my experience with them. And so in residential areas, it does make people nervous, particularly when you're in an evacuation zone. You know, the word tsunami is very scary, and we are in a tsunami zone here. So as a result, in order to help deal with all these issues that I mentioned, I will include a condition that the owner shall provide a plan to city staff prior to certificate of occupancy, which identifies a contingency plan for parking when mechanical lifts are not operable. Again, I believe there's a condition here, but whichever is more restrictive will apply, so we can combine them if needed. This shall require, include but not limited to, provision of parking off-site to any tenant utilizing mechanical lift parking within 24 hours of mechanical lifts being out of service. So really, you get a 24-hour grace period, and after that, you need to give people parking somewhere else. So in that plan, you would establish where that parking is, how you're going to give people access to it. It could also be, I'll call it a fee in lieu. You can pay people an amount of money that will actually help purchase them parking within the direct vicinity. And I would say that that parking could exist within the downtown specific plan or within 1,250 feet if you happen to go outside of the downtown specific plan, because I know you're on the edge. 1,250 feet being the most that I want to walk to my car. And I think generally that's a generally accepted number for most humans to want to casually walk to their car versus make a long haul, right? Additionally, in relation to that, I apologize if this overlaps with existing conditions. There are quite a few. But the applicant shall provide an emergency evacuation plan for review by city staff and approval prior to certificate of occupancy that identifies the inability to remove cars from the site during an emergency. 10 minutes is a long time, and if there's a tsunami coming, I think at that point, I hope we can be warned sooner than that, but unfortunately, the harsh reality is often those warnings don't come sooner. So I think at a certain point, we need a plan to stop people from trying to move their cars and to get out with somebody else, and to have a plan to help people just get out versus get their vehicle 10 minutes later down. I think we all know that probably carpooling in an emergency, and I know it's funny to say, is probably actually the best way to help kind of eliminate the traffic and to physically make sure that every unit, regardless of whether they have a car or not, is partnered with people who have cars that can access out, or give them ways to get out, and whatever that is, utilize your emergency experts to help you determine that plan, and then that would be reviewed by our emergency management team and approved prior to certificate of occupancy. Additionally, the applicant shall plant Mexican sycamore trees as the street tree for the entire project, unless the urban forester requires a different street tree. Alternatively, Mexican sycamore trees could be planted on Laurel with an alternative street tree on Santa Clara, should you determine that a better tree fits the pattern of that the adjacent blocks. I know this is in the conditions, but you are required to provide a parkway strip, not just grass. I'd like that parkway strip to include real plants. Sorry to grass fans. I think that there's a balance with parkways. Often it's the quick place for someone to take their dog, so there's the reality of wanting some low ground cover. I would rather see alternative ground cover than standard grass. Again, all this needs to be approved by the urban forester and planning ultimately, but we'd like to see, I would say, a minimum of 30% of the parkway planted with plants that grow higher than ground cover, so like a range of plants as well. Additionally, I'd like to see 10% more landscaping inside the site, and that can be measured by square footage. So I'm not going to tell you what plants or where, but it sounds like you're already on it for the stormwater management. So this benefits everyone. And I think obviously there are limitations about the types and quantities of plants you can put within your stormwater management areas. So I recognize that there may be some limitations. But again, any way you can stay away from grass and do alternative ground cover would be great. Or maybe different grasses that aren't your standard grasses to create visual interest. And then for the wall facing the neighbors, just want to make sure I'm... Wow, the music's getting really good in case you can't hear it. I hope everyone joins me on the street after. This is the portion of the building that's adjacent to the garden. Is it Garden Court Apartments next door? I'm struggling on my pages here. They're all not loading quickly. I apologize for not remembering the name of the building, but I'm going to find it in 1 second right here. Santa Clara Courts. I apologize. Wasn't even close. So on the elevation that's facing Santa Clara Courts, I am conditioning the project to include an additional element that creates some visual interest on the tall element that does not include, I believe it's probably a stair tower, that does not include windows, and perhaps that is a shift in material or perhaps even art or creeping plants even would be actually, I think, maybe the best case scenario to put vines that climb up that elevation to create, again, more landscaping, more visual interest. And that is my last condition. With that, I will take all those conditions, all of the staff conditions that are included in the new resolution, and just for the record, in case there are any that did not carry over accidentally from the original Planning Commission approval, we would carry those over as well. It sounds like there were a few that didn't apply anymore. So with that, I will approve this item with all of the things that I just said. So thank you for hanging in there. That was quite long, but I appreciate it. And it's obviously extremely essential that we really look at all of these with a fine-tooth comb. So thank you, and thank you to the applicants. The next item is Project 24-0521, the Lawrence Residence Variance, located at 2872 Pierpont Boulevard. And we have Taylor Hernbull with another presentation. Taylor?
Thank you again. The case before you, as you mentioned, is Project 24-0521, the Lawrence Residence Fence Variance. So the project site is located on the west side of Pierpont Boulevard within the lanes area of the Pierpont community. The 0.14 acre, well, approximately 0.14 acre lot contains an existing 2,730 square foot, two-story single-family residence built in 1955 with an attached garage and second-story deck that was added in 1979. So just for a brief rundown of the history, you may recall, or maybe you wouldn't, actually, I take that back. This may be prior to your arrival, but couple months back, or I guess it was last year, there was a CDP approved for renovation. Before that, there was an application for a variance for fence height within that front yard setback submitted by the property owner. It was May 17th, 2021 that was submitted. At the time, city staff indicated that they would not be able to support all variance findings. Staff did work subsequently with the property owner to obtain evidence in support of those findings, including letters of support from neighbors and photos of other similar properties in the vicinity. However, that variance did not proceed to a hearing. And as I mentioned, there was a subsequent application for a coastal development permit for a remodel of that existing residence submitted on June 8, 2023. While the subject fence was featured as part of the site photo exhibit on those plans, it was not included in the scope of work for that project, and thus the variance was not part of the coastal development permit approval. And so a new application was submitted on March 3rd, 2024 to pursue that original variance for fence height within the front yard setback. And after reviewing the evidence provided with the previous and current variance applications, we are now moving the variance forward to public hearing. So just some info on the proposal. SBMC, pardon me, San Juan Ventura Municipal Code, section 24410020C specifies that no fence, wall, structure, or landscaping shall be erected, planted, or maintained within 20 feet of an intersection of public rights of way in a manner that's determined by the director to interfere with pedestrian or vehicular traffic visibility. Also, 24410030H1 specifies that no fence or wall or dense landscaping that serves as a fence or wall shall be located or maintained on a front property line or anywhere within the required front yard unless such fence, wall, or dense landscaping is 42 inches or less in height. The requested variance would legalize an existing fence within the front yard setback measuring 58 inches in height, which is obviously greater than what is allowed within the front yard setback, but still does not exceed the allowed height for fences in residential zones, which would be 6 feet. Oh. So actually, I'm going to skip this slide. It was actually included in error, but in general, staff is supporting or has provided evidence in support of the variance findings. In general, the fence is of good quality construction material, as evidenced by the letters of support. The neighbors are generally in favor of that fence. No significant impacts to neighboring properties or visibility for traffic or pedestrians. So in general, we as staff are supporting the variance findings this time around. And so staff's recommendation is that the director approve that minor variance as conditioned.
Thank you, Taylor. That was a great presentation. Do we have any members of the public that would like to speak? The applicant, perhaps?
Hi, my name is Gabriella. I'm the applicant, and I don't really have any other comments.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad we have a concert for you.
Since there's no one it's been there. Fairly entertaining.
It's not like this at every meeting, unfortunately. It is kind of awesome. This one is pretty cut and dry. I'm not going to hold this here. It's 704. This is the type of project that gets a variance for a fence. Its location, proximity to the street, the reality of being on Pierpont. And once again, I do want to note this is an existing fence. Is that correct? It seems like there was a bit of confusion about what was applied for and what was approved previously, and I totally understand the confusion, and frankly, we should have caught it previously as well, and I think that was part of it. And so in looking at it now, I appreciate that it is not that much higher than what's allowed, so it's not excessive. I think also the transparency of the fencing, I think, makes it way more palatable. Frankly, to me, it really kind of just blends in with the home, I think, which is part of the point. So I appreciate that. Thank you. So with that, I will go ahead and approve this item as condition. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So with that, I have no public communications except have a lovely X Games this weekend. And we are adjourned until our next meeting in July, which is going to be on Thursday, July 25th in this room at 6 p.m. Have a good evening. Thank you.